أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت صدق الله العظيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم My dear sisters of Islam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for taking your time out and giving that time for the sake of the religion of Allah and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran that every living being, no matter what sort of creature that is, every living being will taste death. And therefore, if you think to yourself that whether a person is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, whether a person believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or whether a person totally rejects the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether a person believes in a different faith or whether a person believes in shirk or polytheism or to associate other partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one thing is absolutely common, and that is that every single person knows that their time will come and they will taste death. Therefore, what I want to ask you today is, what preparation have we done for the time when we will have to face that moment? Let me tell you what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. Two Sahaba kiram were talking to each other and they were laughing and joking. And in the hadith it has been reported that their teeth were showing. In other words, they were laughing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked past. He asked with them, "My companions, why are you laughing? Why are you joking? What is so funny? Do you know that your time will come? Have you tasted death? Do you know that that hole in the ground, the hole of worms, the dark hole, is the hole where you have to go one day?" The Sahaba Kiram report that after that day, we never ever laughed again. We continuously thought about our death. And therefore it is quoted in the Hadith Sharif that what I want to do is you to imagine the situation where a person passes away. Imagine that person is you for a second. And your clothing, the hundreds of pounds that you spent on that precious clothing, the man that spent so much precious clothing in designer items, designer clothing wear, and the lady, the sister that spent that money, 200 pounds, 300 pounds on a dress that you only wore on one wedding. That is taken off you. Your clothing is left behind, and for a woman, 5 pieces of cloth are wrapped around her. For a man, 3 pieces of cloth are wrapped around him. The cloth is plain white and it is not even sewn. That is wrapped. Imagine the time will come when that is wrapped around you. And then the people in your household, whether they be your children, whether they be your parents, whether they be your family or your friends, the men will then take the grave, the coffin, and they will put it on their shoulders. And then you will leave your house for the last time in this world. And then, whilst you are walking to the cemetery, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that do not rock the janazah too hard because the deceased person will be caused distress. In other words, the deceased person knows that they are being taken to the cemetery. And they are looking around and they are seeing that it is their own brother that is carrying them. It is their own family that is carrying them. Their own husband that is carrying them. Their own son that is carrying them. And then when you go near that hole in the ground, you are lowered. Slowly you are lowered and then soil is put on you slowly. And you see, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you continuously pray Durood Sharif, you will see me as one of the people that will lower you into the grave. Therefore, my dear sister of Islam, when you are lowered into the grave, you will be able to see who is throwing that soil on top of you. And then suddenly it will go completely dark. Then you will turn around and you will say, "My son, don't leave me alone here. Please don't go. I am on my own now." And yet the son won't be able to hear you. He will turn around and quickly he will be walking away. You will say to your husband, don't go away. For we used to sit together and we used to watch the film together. You used to say to your son, "It was you that I used to send to the shop to get the video film. It was you. We used to sit together."
but that son will walk away. Immediate family will walk away. Then what will happen next is the important part. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that as soon as people walk away, you will be all on your own and it will be completely dark and it will be cold. Then suddenly you will hear the earth tremble. It will start shaking and you will wonder what is happening around you. And then suddenly, ripping through the earth, two angels will come. The angels, according to the hadith, will be so tall that their heads will be in the sky and their teeth will be ripping the earth apart. The hair will be completely black and they will be dragging on the floor, ripping the earth apart, coming towards you. Their eyes are completely green and are fiery with fire and there will be flames coming out of their eyes. And they are completely black. And then they will talk to the dead. They won't wake the dead up as your child might wake you up or your friend might wake you up. They will grab hold of you and they will shake you hard. And then as soon as you wake up, the terror, the sheer terror that you will feel, then they will say, Man Rabbuka. That will be the first question. Who is your Lord? Then the second question will be, Madinuka. In that sort of fury, in that sort of threatening voice, they will ask you the question, what is your religion?
What is your religion?
Then they will ask you the third question. And the third question will be,
Ma kuntu taqulu fi hadha ar-rajul.
What did you used to say about this person? If the dead is a Muslim, a pious Muslim, he or she will turn around and say, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah. Then he or she will say to the second question,
Deen al-Islam,
my religion is Islam. Then they will say, the third question, they will say, Who are Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beloved messenger, peace and blessing upon him. Then a voice will come. They will hear a voice and the voice will say that my servant has said the truth. Lay the tablecloth of Jannah for him. Open the doors of Jannah for her. Let the cool air of Jannah take her and give her the cool, beautiful smell of Jannah. Then give him or her the clothing of Jannah and prepare her for the day of judgment and prepare her to go into Jannah. However, if the person is a kafir, a non-Muslim, or a wrongdoer, a person who deliberately misses namaz, a person who continuously performs haram actions, listens to haram music, a person who does not obey the commands of Allah and His beloved Prophet, that is a wrongdoer. And a non-Muslim is a person who rejected Islam. This person will say, Ha ha ladri, it's a shame, it's a shame, I don't know the answer. A voice will be heard and it will say that this person has lied. Open the doors of fire. Let the intense heat persecute this person, punish this person. Then, my dear sisters of Islam, the two angels that have asked the question will go. But two more angels will appear. They again will be just as fearful. However, they will not be able to hear because they will be deaf. And they will be blind. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that they will have big, large hammers in their hands. And they will start to beat the dead person, crushing their head completely. That person will scream, but they won't be able to hear your scream. The person will cry, but they won't be able to hear your crying. And they will continuously do this until the day of judgment. My dear sisters of Islam, death is a fact. You cannot hide from the fact. However, what you can do is to prepare your life for the real life, which is when your eyes close. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that this world is like a journey for you. When you go on a journey from here to London, you make yourself, you get your preparation, you make sure that you have some goods with you, some clothing to keep with you, you make sure that you have some food with you, but you don't take any old rubbish. So you take what is necessary, and then whilst you are going to London, you do not go away from that path. You will stop maybe once or twice, and then you will reach your destination. In the same way, this is but a journey. And you have started from Alame Arwah, the beginning of life. And you are going to Alame Barzakh, which is the life in the grave. But people forget that this is a journey. And people go away from the straight path. And people go towards the call of Shaitan. And people forget that I have to die. Or otherwise people turn a blind eye to the fact that I will be completely on my own in that grave. No one is going to assist me except for my deeds. And that is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that there are three things in this world. Three things. One stops at your doorstep. Another stops at your graveside. And the third thing comes with you in your grave. The first thing that stops at your doorstep is your possessions. Your goods, the money that you had earned, the time that you had taken to go shopping, all the goods that you had collected together, all the time you used to, didn't even consider the time for namaz because you were in the shopping hall. But all them goods will stop at the doorstep. Like I said, they will take your clothing off you, they will take your shoes off you, and they will wrap you up in a white piece of clothing. So that stops at your doorstep. The second part is that comes to your grave is your family and your friends. They will come to the grave. But do they come inside the grave with you? Your mother who has looked after you and cared about you so much, if you were to pass away before your mother, then would she come in the grave with you? She would turn back immediately. In fact, she would stop at the door. Your father would turn back immediately. Then your child, your son, that you forgot Islam totally about, for it was your son that you were concerned. You weren't bothered about his religious education. You weren't bothered instructing him of praying namaz, or instructing your daughter to pray namaz. But you were more concerned that they have a good worldly education. So they have a good life as a doctor, as a barrister, as a dentist. Don't get me wrong. That is not haram in Islam. That is perfectly allowed, as long as you follow it according to the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But unfortunately today, the time comes to take a child from the masjid and people are being impatient at 7:05. The Maulana Sahib might be giving a lecture. Come on Maulana Sahib, I haven't got all day. But 7:10, 7:15 to be knocking on the door. I haven't got all day. Why are you taking so long? But when it comes to drop your children off, then 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, no problem. Your children are saying, I'm not feeling so good. He said, don't worry, it's my son. Don't have to go to masjid today. And yet, if it was the same situation in the school, say, no, you have to go to school. You wait outside the school, and the school takes another 5 or 10 minutes, and you're not bothered. Even in the rain, you're stood outside, or maybe they're doing something. Why? Because everybody's emphasis is on the worldly education, and they forget about the religious education. However, they will stop at your grave. They will not come in with you. And, my dear sisters of Islam, if you have taught your son Islam, if you have directed him towards religion, if you yourself have gone towards religion, and then you have taught your son how to pray the dua of janazah, then your son at least might be able to do that for you. When your body is on the side and your son is praying namaz of janazah, do you know there are many boys out there today who do not even know the dua of the janazah? The parents that brought them up, the parents that took pain after bringing them up, and then the only thing that they require is for them to at least pray for them. They can't pray the dua janazah because they don't know the dua janazah. I even know boys who go in the morning, the father has passed away, and they say, I can't even go to the janazah because I am napak, I am unclean. I have been out last night. My dear sisters, this is a true fact that is happening today. And yet, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the second thing will stop at your grave. The first thing at your doorstep, which is your goods, the second thing will stop at your grave. And there's one thing that will come in with you, and that is your deed. What you have done in this world will come with you in your grave. They will save you. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that namaz will stand over your head. Zakat will be on one side. Hajj will be on the other side. And your sadqa, your fitrah, your good deeds, the things that you have done in this world will be at your foot, near your feet. And when the angels come, when the angels are instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, namaz will stop them. Namaz will say, you are not allowed to go past me. Hajj will say, you are not allowed to go past me. Zakat will say, you are not allowed to go past me. And they will turn the angels back. They will protect you from being punished in the grave. But there are three things that help you in your grave. The first is the ilm, the knowledge that you have left behind. If you have taught someone how to pray namaz, as long as that person prays namaz, then you will be rewarded for that. Until the day of judgment, if that person teaches another person, and that person teaches another person, all that reward you will benefit from. The second thing is sadqa-e jariya. Sadqa-e jariya, sawab-e jariya basically means things that you have done in this world that you have left behind, which is giving you reward. In other words, you sponsored a particular part of the masjid. You sponsored the printing of some Islamic literature. As long as people read that literature, you will gain the reward for it. You take your time and you wrote a kitab. That will be rewarded for you until the day of judgment. And the final thing, the final and most important thing is your pious children. For when your pious children are left behind, they will pray for you. For do you not know that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is walking past a grave, and he looks at the grave, and the grave is being severely punished. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, being the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was given the knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could see the knowledge of the unseen. He could see what was happening in the grave. He looks at the grave and he shows his head up towards the sky and he says, Ya Allah, may Allah have mercy. And he continues to walk. After he performed his duty, he is coming back. He sees this very grave, but this time it is not being punished. This time it is full of light. He looks at Allah, the skies, and he says, Ya Allah, this was the very same grave that I saw a few hours ago that was so much fire that I myself had to turn my face away. And it is the same grave which has been enlightened with your light. What is the reason behind it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam down. And he says to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he says that this person in the grave was a sinful person. He was a bad person. He never used to perform good deeds. However, when he died, his wife was pregnant, and his wife then delivered a boy. That boy today is 5 or 6 years old. And that boy today, he has said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah's name I start with, the most beneficent, the merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when his child calls me the most beneficent, when his child calls me the most merciful, I had shame and I felt sorry that I should punish the father of a child who is calling me the most beneficent, who is calling me the most merciful, and I changed his punishment to reward. I changed that punishment to reward. And therefore, you see the benefit that the child has given to the father? And that is in all his lifetime. The children will give you that benefit. Hazrat Bayazid Bustami, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, an eminent buzruk, an eminent wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going past a cemetery. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had also given him the power. He could see what was happening. Sees a group of people, the dead people, fighting over something. They are sharing something, they are fighting over something. But one old man is in a corner and he is resting in peace, not even involved in the fighting. Hazrat Bayazid Bustami, Ramutullah Salai, wonders what is happening. Then that night he goes to sleep, he sees the old man in his dream. The old man says, Hazrat, you walked past today and you saw a group of people fighting. Do you know why they were fighting? They were fighting because somebody had sent the Durood Sharif to them. Somebody had prayed the Durood Sharif and sent it as a blessing towards the dead. And they were sharing the reward of that Durood Sharif. They were sharing that reward. And the reason why I was not joining in is because my son works in such and such a shop in the town. And my son is a pious child. And my son sits down and he prays the Holy Quran every day. And he sends that towards me towards blessing. He sends the dead to the dead, to me to the blessing. And therefore I do not need to scramble for the Durood Sharif. Hazrat Bayazid Bustami, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, in the morning wakes up and he goes to the very shop that this buzuk had told him in his dream. And in this shop, he sees a young man with this beard according to the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he is praying the Holy Quran. Hazrat Bayazid inquires, says, my son, you are praying the Holy Quran, do you do this every day? The man replies, yes, I pray the Holy Quran every day as much as I can and I send it to the blessing of my father. Therefore, Hazrat Bayazid Bustami praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the mercy that he has on the dead person. Then, my dear sister of Islam, the same Hazrat Bayazid Bustami, after a short while, is going past the cemetery. This time he sees the old man scrambling with the rest of the dead for the same reward. Hazrat Bayazid Bustami wonders to himself, what has happened? At night, the old man comes in his dream. And he says that you saw me today scrambling for the reward. The reason why I did this is because my son who used to send me reward has now passed away. He has now passed away and therefore I am dependent on people sending me blessings and therefore I am fighting for this solution. Therefore, my dear sisters of Islam, this will be the same position of you and I when we pass away. We'll be waiting for a child to send something to us, for a child to sit there and pray the Holy Quran. But let me ask you the question, how many times do you sit and pray the Holy Quran and send it towards the dead? Maybe your father and mother are alive today. Maybe they are alive today. Maybe may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them long life. However, if your granddad has passed away, if your previous ancestors have passed away, or even at the very end, all Muslim brothers and sisters have passed away, do you send blessings to them? Expect what you do in return. And death is a reality. And it was Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam who met Hazrat Malakul Maut, the angel. The angel of death has been instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Ismail Haqqi reports in Tafsir Ruhul Bayan that there is not one living being that the angel of death does not visit in a single day. If the command of Allah is told, he told him that he takes the soul out, then that very second he will take that soul out. That very second. He comes to you, my dear sister of Islam, every single day, twice a day. And he comes to me every single day, twice a day. And then when our time will come, you will never be able to hide. Wherever you are, he will catch upon you. Fourth, do you not know that it was the time of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam? Again, a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Hazrat Malakul Maut came to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, and there was a man next to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. And Hazrat Malakul Maut is gazing at this man, staring at this man, looking at every single action. And this man is getting scared. He's thinking to himself, the angel of death is looking at me. The angel of death is looking at me. Maybe he will take my soul away this very second. Maybe he will take my soul away. He's worried to himself what will happen. Then Hazrat Malakul Maut goes. This man then says to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, Ya Nabi Allah, please send me away from Palestine. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam was in Palestine. He said, please send me away. Send me to China, which was regarded as very far away. Send me to China, for I am scared that Hazrat Malakul Maut might come back to me today. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam instructs the winds, for he has power over them, to take him to China. Hazrat Malakul Maut goes to China, and he goes to that very person. And he says to that very person, do you know why I was gazing at you and staring at you yesterday? Because on my list here, I had been instructed to take your soul out in China. And I was wondering, what were you doing in Palestine at the time? I was wondering, what were you doing in Palestine? And therefore, he takes the soul out of that person. Therefore, my dear sisters of Islam, you can run, you can hide, you can disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. But when the time comes, and you don't know, we don't know, I don't know when I walk away from here, how long I am going to live. And therefore, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam met Hazrat Malakul Maut. And he asked Hazrat Malakul Maut, O angel of death, he came in the form of a human being, or his normal form. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam says, so tell me, how do you go to a person who is a kafir, a non-believer, or a bad person, a sinful person? Hazrat Malakul Maut says to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, you will never be able to look at me, O Ibrahim alayhi salam. Turn your face away. Hazrat Ibrahim Falam turns his face away, then Hazrat Malakul Maut puts his face on, which is so fearful, so bad, that when Hazrat Ibrahim Salam turns around to look at him, he screams with fear and he becomes unconscious. And then Hazrat Malakul Maut goes into his normal self. And then when he wakes Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam up, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam says that I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if there was no more punishment and the only punishment for a sinful person was to see your face like that, then that is enough punishment to scare them forever. Then he inquires, he says, how do you go to a pious person, a religious person, a person who prays namaz? He says, turn your face away again. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam turns his face away. When he looks at Hazrat Malakul Maut, his face is so handsome, so beautiful, and so full of light that he becomes unconscious due to the sheer beauty of his face. When he is woken up again by Hazrat Malakul Maut, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam says that I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if there was no reward for a pious person and the only reward was to see your beautiful face, then that would be sufficient for him forever. My dear sister of Islam, this is the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us this. And I want you to concentrate on yourself, on what happens to you, and what happens to us when our time comes. But today, we have forgotten. For isn't it death that we have forgotten about, and that is why we forget about namaz? That is why we go to our worldly pleasures. When you go home today, maybe you will pray Maghrib, inshallah you will pray Asar and Maghrib. Maybe some of the sisters won't. Why? Because for a short while you remember death, and then you forget it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when iron gets rusty, clean it. And in the same way, when a Muslim's heart gets rusty, clean it. The Sahaba Kiram inquire, "O beloved Prophet, how can we clean our heart? We get rusty. How can it get rusty?" The Prophet replies that rusty means that you start going into the worldly pleasure. As soon as you start going towards the worldly pleasure, think about your death. As soon as you think about your death, that will clean your heart. That will clean your heart away. And it is your children, my dear sisters of Islam, that will be either of benefit to you, or you yourself will be either benefit to your parents, or you will be a burden on your parents. Why? For on the day of judgment, two children will be a wife and a child will be brought in front of a man. And the wife who used to live with that man, and the child of that man will complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this can happen to a woman also, that the child will complain about the woman. And they will say, on the mizan, in other words, the weighing scales, the reward of this individual will be so high that they will be like a mounting of Uhud in the mizan. And yet, according to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's report, he says that if the whole world was collected together and was put on one pan in the mizan, it would look like a pea, a small pea in mizan. And yet, this person's reward will be like the mountain. And he will be wondering that I, inshallah, will go into Jannah. And suddenly his wife will come. And his son will come. And his children will come. And they'll say, "Ya Allah, this person has done injustice to me." Your own children will complain against you. Your own husband or your own wife, for a man, will complain against them. And say, "Ya Allah, I complain about this person. For he used to pray namaz, but he never told us how to pray namaz. He used to know religion, but he never instructed." The children will say, "My mother," your own child will say, that "my mother, I knew, I respected her in that world, but she never taught me about religion. She knew that religion was important, and yet she sent me away from religion. She did not inquire what I was doing at night." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say to them, "You have committed a sin, but take your share." And they will take the share from mizan. And that mizan, the scales will go completely empty. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will instruct the angels to beat this person. And they will beat this person and all his flesh will come off. And then by the hair, they will grab them and throw into the fire of hell. That is for a person who taught their children, did not teach their children religion. However, there is a beautiful thought to Islam. And what is that? That a person on the day of judgment will be brought to in front of the mizan again. His deeds will be very, very small. He will be worried what will going to happen to him. Then, suddenly his deeds will rise and they will be like the mountain. He will say, "Ya Allah, these are not my deeds. I have not done that much good. I have not prayed that many namaz." He will say, "The reason why I have given you this reward is because your child always used to send his reward to you. Your child always used to think about you, and after praying namaz, he always used to pray for you. And because of the worship that your children did for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am going to reward you. I am going to reward your children. I am going to reward your family. And all of you go into paradise. Whichever door you please go into paradise." My dear sisters of Islam, your children can be a benefit to you. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if a woman has a miscarriage, then that child on the day of judgment will argue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that "I will give you that much benefit. How much can a born child, a child that has learned Islam, can give you benefit? And you're in the same position. How much benefit can you give your parents? If you truly love your parents, if you respect your parents, if you want the best for your parents, if you do not want to see your parents thrown into the fire of hell, then you can give them benefit. You can give them benefit today by praying namaz and praying for them. Even if they have not passed away, you can pray for their long life." My dear sisters of Islam, it is death which is, again I say, which is a true fact of life. And on the day of judgment, or in fact in the grave, let me tell you one other thing. When a person, a Muslim, passes away, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that the angels will come shaking the earth, and the Muslim will sit up and they will rub their eyes. The Muslim will rub their eyes. And then he will look at the two angels and he will say to them, Go away. Why are you here? It is my time for namaz. Go away. I have to pray namaz. The person in the grave will say, I still have to pray namaz. Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari reports that that dead Muslim pious person will believe that he is still in this world. And when the time for namaz comes, he won't be bothered about the angels. He will say, because of his habit in this world, because of his habit to pray namaz, he will say, go away, don't disturb me, for my time for namaz has come. My first time has come and I want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same person will say that. And that is when a person's habit for praying namaz is in this world. Therefore, my dear sisters of Islam, death is a reality. It will happen to you. And you have to prepare for it today. Your deeds will count for you. Your pious children will count for you. Death will count for you. For the dead person's soul goes around the people's houses, wanting the blessing, wanting the dua, wanting the Fatiha. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when a son goes to his mother or his dead father's grave on a Friday morning, then Allah rewards him the same as him completing a complete hajj. So the same reward as a full hajj is given to a son when he goes to the parents' graves on a Friday morning. That reward for your child. But our children today, just look what our children are doing today. 15-year-old girls today are dragged into today's society and they are given drugs at school. Shaitan comes in a form of a friend and they give them the drugs. That will lure them away from deen. That is why Islam says three things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that do not ever perform shirk. In other words, partner someone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, associate someone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you have to be ripped into two. And the second thing the beloved Prophet says is that never ever deliberately miss namaz. And the third thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says is that never touch an intoxicant. Something that intoxicates your mind. In other words, alcohol or drugs. Because that is the root, that is the mother of all sin. Because when a person is intoxicated, that person no longer understands what is halal and what is haram. And therefore Islam says, don't go even near it. It is haram for you. And if you don't go near it, Allah will reward you for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that my servant saw that glass of alcohol. My servant saw that piece of drug. However, my servant did not go towards it because my servant said that that was haram. And therefore you respected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. Allah will therefore reward you for that. Inshallah. And you will be given reward. And then when the time for qabr comes, that the person will be as if they are sleeping in Jannah. And their qabr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that their grave will squeeze them in two ways. For a pious person, the grave will squeeze them, caress them the same way as a mother holds a child. Firmly, comfortably. And for a sinful person, and for a non-Muslim, the grave will crush them up to the extent that their left-hand side ribs will be on their right-hand side and their right-hand side ribs will be on their left-hand side. Completely crush them. The choice, my dear sisters, is yours. And the punishment of a grave is a fact. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is walking past and he sees two graves on the side. He sees two graves. He says to his companions, he says, these people are being punished. And they are punished for not major sins. One person is being punished because he did not clean himself after urinating. And the other person is being punished because they used to tell tale from one side to the other and cause two people to row, cause two people to have an argument. And therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to a branch, a tree, and then he breaks the branch. He breaks the branch in two and he puts one on one grave and puts another on another grave. And he says that as long as these things stay green, they will perform the tasbih of Allah, and as long as they perform the tasbih of Allah, their punishment will be reduced. What I want to say to you is, if the Prophet ﷺ has said that the punishment is a fact, then it is a fact. But let me tell you, here a question arises. How can the Prophet see what is happening in the grave? Then the answer to that is that Allah has given the Prophet the knowledge of the unseen. The Prophet is not like us in status and in quality. He knows what is happening. And the other quality is that God, not only does the Prophet see that these people are being punished, the Prophet even knows why they are being punished. So he knows the way to cure. In other words, the way to reduce their punishment. And therefore, it is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the third question is asked, we'll come into your grave. And then you turn around and you say, oh beloved Prophet, don't go away. Oh beloved Prophet, I respected your sunnah. I told my husband not to shave his beard. Then the Prophet will smile at you. However, if you don't tell your husband, or if you don't tell your brothers, if you don't tell your fathers, in a nice way, my dear sisters, I'm not asking you to go and quarrel and fight with them. For that Islam forbids you. However, if you request them, if you support them, inshallah, they will perform that act and you will be rewarded for that. If the Prophet is pleased with you, then nothing can ever be a cause for punishment if the Prophet is pleased. Because when the Prophet is pleased, Allah is pleased. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says that after I inquired with the Prophet about the punishment of the grave, I always used to pray. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always used to pray for the deceased people. And that is what we should be doing. Performing Fatiha, not watching the TV. Not performing sins. Because the day will come. And you don't know, we have seen young people pass away. 19, 20 year old girls or 19, 20 year old boys have passed away. So that doesn't mean, therefore, that you will live till you are 60 or 70 or 80. We don't know when our death will come. And when it comes, it will come. I want to tell you about the punishment of the grave. The reason why I tell you this, my dear sisters, is so that you can understand what you are missing out on if you do not perform good deeds. I do not want to put fear in your heart unnecessarily. However, it is my duty to tell you the true fact. My duty, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that I know. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a hadith has been quoted in Bukhari Sharif, that one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was woken up by two angels, and he was taken. The angels say, "O beloved Prophet, come. Come and follow us." And the ulama are saying, one ulama says that this will happen on the day of judgment, and another ulama says that this is the punishment of the grave. However, whatever happens, a dream for a prophet is a fact. Our dreams are not true. Maybe they are true, maybe they're not true. However, a prophet's dream is a communication by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the beloved prophet. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I was woken up and I went, and the angel took me, and I saw a person lying on the floor, and another angel was above him with a large rock, and he was smashing his head. Once his head was completely smashed, the head was created again, and he was smashing his head again, smashed again, created again. I said, "Ya Allah, what is this?" The angel said, "Come, O beloved Prophet, continue." He walks along and he sees a person whose face is being ripped apart by two angels. The angels are putting two metal implements into his face and they are ripping his face apart. And then his face is joined together again. And then they are ripping it apart again. And then his face is joined again. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ya Allah, what is this?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessed angel says, "O beloved Prophet, come." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I saw a person in a stream of water. The water was not water, however, it was blood. And they were trying to swim to the shore. As soon as they came towards the shore, angels were hitting them with rocks. This person with rocks and with force,